Oh, it's been a good day in the house of the Lord. It's been a good day. I just moved to tears as I listened to those testimonies. To be able to hear someone testify the good news of Jesus Christ, man, there's nothing like that. That is the evidence that we see. That's the evidence that we get to know and experience here in the house of the Lord in these evenings. Praise God. Praise God. It is. You can't escape it, my brothers and sisters. Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. Jesus is changing lives. Only God can do that. Only God can change people. People that have gone down a certain road and have experienced certain things that are so dark, so painful, and yet can come out of that and stand here in the house of the Lord and say, Jesus changed my life. Man, that's good news. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus does for each and every one of us, for you and I. And we don't want anybody to miss it here tonight. Those of you that might be visiting tonight, those of you that might just come once in a while here, I want you to know tonight that Jesus is alive and he loves you. He loves you. He desires that you would know him as your Lord and Savior, that it would be a true relationship. And I just want to read just in these few minutes, just a little scripture to you that really just has been just speaking to my heart this week. And even as I was just sitting, I was like, well, Lord, do you want me to share this? And as I was listening to the testimonies, it was a clear yes. Wrap this up and talk to them about this moment in scripture in Mark chapter 10. And this is a moment where Jesus was traveling. And I'm reading, just listen to me, just a few verses I'm just reading out of Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. And it's about a rich young man that stops Jesus while Jesus is on a journey. And the scripture says, and as he was setting out on this journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, here it is, Jesus traveling on this journey. And this rich young man, a man with wealth, a young adult, status, position, had money, but he comes to Jesus in the middle of the day. I mean, here's Jesus traveling, and when Jesus traveled, there was a crowd around him, and his disciples were there, and people moved about. I mean, Jesus, when he traveled, you could always anticipate that he would do a miracle, you know, that he would heal somebody, that he would touch somebody's life, or everybody was always anticipating that Jesus would say something just great, or just so uplifting. And so here this young man comes and stops Jesus. What do I do? What must I do to get eternal life? And really what he's asking is, what can I do to just have happiness? How can I be happy forever? You know, which for many, even today, we want to be happy forever. We want to feel good forever. We want to live forever. We want to be happy forever. And a lot of times we think, what can I do? What do I do to get this eternal life? What do I do to be happy today? And I want you to know tonight, it's nothing that you and I can do. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. It's all about what Jesus has done 2,000 years ago, what he did on the cross, something that you and I couldn't do. A life that we couldn't live, Jesus lived it. And so he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And I love Jesus here, helping this young man understand who he's coming to. You know, because he comes to Jesus, and he says, hey, good teacher. Well, I want you all to know that Jesus is far more than just a good teacher. He is good. He defines the word good. You know, when you come into the house of God, it's not just to hear good music or just hear good people talk or hear good stories tonight. Everything about what is good, we're talking about God himself. God is good. He's the definition of good. Not only is he good, he's great. He's marvelous. He's amazing. He's spectacular. He's just wow. He's a life changer. He's good. I love that, right? So there's really no way to define him. We keep it simple, right? He's just good. He's just so good. And so he helps this young man understand. I love Jesus. He boasts in himself. Now, I want you to understand. You're coming to me asking for something here. But let's get this straight, okay? I want you to know only God is good. All right. So before I love Jesus because, he already knows this young man even before he got to him. Right. So he's going to help this young man out as they go into this conversation. Before we get into this conversation, I want you to know I am good. I am God. You're not just coming to a teacher. You're not just coming here into the house of God just to feel good about yourself. It's about you knowing that God is good, that while we were yet sinners, while you and I were a mess, God in his goodness showed up on our behalf. He's good. He's full of love. And so he comes and Jesus continues on to say, he says, you know the commandments in verse 19. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. You know, he's going through a few of the Ten Commandments, as many of us have heard through the years. And then he says to him, the young man says this, teacher, all these I've kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Verse 22, disheartened by the saying, disheartened by what Jesus said, discouraged by Jesus, that who he is good, he goes away, sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What I want to leave with you tonight, don't be disheartened in the face of love. Here's what I mean. Jesus gives him a few of the commandments, and this young man says, ever since I was a young kid, I follow those commandments. And there are many, you know, right? There's many people that they've gone to church for a long time. You know, you heard our brother Andrew said, he said, I went to church. I grew up in church. My parents were Christians. I was active in missions, but yet there was still something I was just asking of God. God, what is it? There was still something that needed to be filled in him. And it's amazing how we can come to church and we can get to know all these things. We get to know the songs that the choir sings. We get to know the praise songs and the worship songs. Some of us even get to know the announcements very well. I mean, we know which ones are coming. And we get to know, we know the people around us. We know which seat we normally sit in. And we know the community around us. And it becomes just, you know, just a normal process and a normal routine that we do. But all the while, we can know all these things. But do we really know Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? So he says he knows all these things, this young man. He says he's been following it for a long time. That was me. I was like that young ruler. I didn't have all the riches he had, but boy, could I could rattle off some scripture. Boy, I knew some Ten Commandments. I mean, I grew up in Sunday school, man. I'm talking back in Virginia, right? You know, I grew up in the Sunday school class where, you know, they did the Bible sword drills, you know, and, you know, everybody had to raise their Bible up and they would say a scripture verse, you know, Mark chapter 10, verse 19. Boom, David Hamm would just. And here we go. And as he was setting on his journey. Whoa, I was good. I won all the free bag of chips and it was just, it's good. Both my parents, you know, growing up, I was a pastor's kid, you know, just in Virginia. I grew up a couple of years on the mission field in Nigeria, you know, and I just had all these experiences, traveled the world. And I remember even coming back from Nigeria and just feeling so displaced, you know, because, you know, I just been there for so long, and I actually had like an accent, Okay, so you want me to come and talk like this, eh? And so I didn't fit in school very well coming back. And I remember I did my own little research at 13, and found out about another missions trip that I could take, you know. And I jumped on that missions trip, and I spent 30 days in Morelia, Mexico, you know. And then I just kept getting involved. And to just kind of just staying plugged in, thinking, man, as long as I know what I'm doing, and I got this going on and that going on, but all the while I didn't really know who my Savior was as my personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I knew all this stuff, but I didn't know Him. I lacked one thing, and that it was that Jesus Christ would take ownership of my heart, my mind, and my soul. It was every effort to figure things out in order to please God, in order to make an impression that I'm busy and I can do this and I can do that and I'm moving about and I got this going on and I'm active here, but yet not allowing God to be God in my life, to really know Him as my Savior. And all these different things that I was active in. And of course, you know, coming back from Nigeria, soccer was my passion. I spent years just playing it and went on even to play in college and get a scholarship. And I had every intent on playing professional soccer. It was the very thing that I possessed and the very thing that I felt like I was good at. And I remember just in my senior year of college, second game into the season, I fractured my ankle. In my pride, I tried to rehab real quick over the course of 4 to 6 weeks, got back out into another game and fractured the other ankle. Oh man, the Lord has a way of getting our attention. I realized I was holding on tight to what I wanted for myself. You know, so many of us, right? There's certain things in life that we possess, we want to take ownership of, we want to hold on to. This is mine. This is what I'm good at, God, okay? I'll come to church, but don't touch this, okay, God? And there's so many different, I could go down a long list of just different things that we attempt to possess, hold for ourselves because we feel like that's ours. This is my baby. This is what I have. And we walk away disheartened in the face of love because we won't let go and surrender all to Jesus Christ. Surrender all. So it's not just about going to church. It's not just about knowing a few songs, but it's about allowing Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. It's about you and I recognizing that God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. To know and to believe that God sent His Son to the cross, took on our sins, died a death that we should have died. I deserved it. And my own pride, my own arrogance. And then when things didn't go my way, I would get angry and bitter against God as if He owed me the right to excel and exceed and go beyond everybody else around me. I felt like I had something to prove. And so as long as I know what I need to know, God, You should be proud of me. You should look down on me, God, with a smile because I know these things. I know my commandments. I know what church is all about. I know how to sing a song. I went all the way to Africa with my parents. You should be proud of me, God. And to know what I know. Isn't that good enough? And it's amazing how as often as I would have these arguments with God, here I was in my heart, disheartened, discouraged, feeling lonely, angry, frustrated. And yet, Jesus would still pursue that young man. You see, here's what's so awesome about this moment in this scripture, that you got to understand, here is Jesus, right? Scripture tells us that he's Alpha and Omega, which means Jesus is the beginning and the end. He knows all things. He's an all-knowing God. So here's what's so awesome about the love of Jesus, that even when he comes to the young man here in Scripture, he knows already that this young man is going to turn away and walk away. He knows. He knows this young man is going to be discouraged, but Jesus would go to him anyway. And I love what Scripture says about Jesus. It says that he looks at him, he loved him, and then he spoke to him. Now that's just an amazing grace, an amazing love, that even knowing that this young man would turn his back and walk away, that Jesus would still pursue him. That's a wow to me. For you and I, if we were able to look into the future and recognize that some of our people in our home or community or friends would eventually turn their back on us, you wouldn't be friends with that person anymore. It doesn't work like that for Jesus. You see, that's the beauty of salvation. That while we were enemies with God, you and I, in our pride, our arrogance, in our sin, living a life, the lust of our flesh, rebellion, that God was still, he would send his son to come get us. That while we're yet sinners, here you and I, we don't deserve this amazing grace, but we have it. God is looking upon you right now, and he loves you. And he would say to you, you lack one thing, me. You lack one thing, my amazing grace. Here it is. You lack one thing, that you would follow me. You lack one thing, that you would just look up and see what I've done for you. My blood shed on the cross. It's my blood that was poured out, not yours. I didn't want to do that. My daddy didn't want to see that happen. He just wanted to make sure that you and I would be reconciled with the Father. So he sends his son. We deserve to die, but the Father said, oh no, I love them so much. Let's make a way that they would be reconciled unto us, son. So son, you go down there and you put your eyes on them. And you come before them and you look on them with the love, the unconditional love that they will not find from anywhere else. Nobody can set on eyes on you the way Jesus can. Nobody can set eyes on you the way Jesus can. Nobody can love you the way Jesus can. And so he says, follow me. Follow me. You know why? Hallelujah. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And no one can get to the Father but through Jesus. It's the only way to be reconciled unto God. It's through the Son, Jesus Christ. And so I say this, follow. Follow me is what he said. Follow me. Don't be disheartened in the face of God's love. Don't be discouraged in the face of God's grace and mercy. Don't be discouraged tonight that Son, Jesus Christ, is looking upon you and I saying, come follow me. Follow me on the way, on the truth and the life. What are you going to find when you follow Jesus? Here's what you're going to find. You're going to find healing when you follow Jesus. You're going to find life when you follow Jesus. You're going to find joy when you follow Jesus. You're going to find restoration when you follow Jesus. You're going to find love when you follow Jesus. This is why he says, follow me. He's not even thinking about whether you're going to turn out of here tonight and walk away discouraged. The word of the Lord still keeps going forth. It's good news. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. I've got life for you. I've got life for you. Don't be discouraged. You've heard testimonies tonight. My brother Andrew and his wife laid it all down. Those tears that you saw up here, those are not tears of sorrow as they prepared to go into the jungles of Guatemala. Those are tears of joy because they have found community here and they know what good news is when Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. I love what my sister said at the end. She said, you got to let go and let God. Let me tell you, some of you are ready to walk out of here disheartened, holding on to your own pride because maybe the healing hasn't come when you wanted it to come. But I want you to know something. The healing has come. It happened 2,000 some years ago when that blood was shed on Calvary. When Jesus died on the cross, there was our healing right there. Now tonight, don't walk out disheartened. Don't walk out discouraged. Some of you, you're gripping onto something like this rich young ruler. You're possessing something that you say, no, this is mine. I'm holding on to it. No, my pride. I've got that. My pride is all I got. No, you're going to lay that down. We're going to pray tonight. I'm praying right now for souls that would come to know who Jesus Christ is as your Lord and Savior. Your Lord and Savior who would say to you tonight, come, follow me. Let's stand together. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged. Some of you have been in some bad relationships and you're holding on to a relationship that you should not be holding on to. Let's lay it down tonight. Now, I want to call you up to surrender all to Jesus Christ. I want to call you up tonight. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you and I'm going to ask you to be bold and to step forward and to receive Jesus Christ as the God who will heal, transform your life, restore you. And when you follow him, you are going to follow down a road of life, new life. He'll make you a new person tonight. The old ways will pass away when you receive Jesus Christ tonight. He'll bring healing in your mind. Some of you have been tormented in your mind. You've been tormented with thoughts, these constant thoughts that are coming. Hey, tonight, I want you to surrender those thoughts to Jesus Christ and watch him renew your mind, transform your mind. Watch him be your healer, your savior. Can I pray with you tonight? Can you grab hold of a friend tonight and say, I'm coming down to the front. I'm going to pray. I'm not walking out disheartened and discouraged like that young man. I'm coming up and I'm going to find joy in Jesus Christ. Now you start to come right now. You grab your friend, you grab your cousin, husband, wife, father, you start coming down right now. Let me tell you something. Jesus died openly and publicly for you and I. Publicly, he laid down his life for us. Now you start coming. Music ministry, could you play? Start coming down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to pray, but it's just even as I was just praying right now, there's some, you've been sliding back. Been sliding back into some old ways. There's been compromise. And you need to recommit your life to Jesus Christ tonight. If that's you, you need to come forward. But if you've been sliding back into some stuff, sliding back, you need to repent, to turn. That's to turn away from wicked ways. You need to come forward. And you need to repent and recommit your life to Jesus. Praise God for you that are here. Praise God. Oh, man. Would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I stand before you this evening.
I stand before you this evening.
And I confess my sin.
And I confess my sin.
I confess I need you, Jesus.
I confess I need you, Jesus.
To be the Savior of my life.
It's not just about what I know.
It's about knowing you as my personal Savior.
It's about knowing you as my personal Savior.
I believe you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. I repent of my sins. Forgive me, Jesus. Cleanse me and make me whole. Make me a new person tonight. I want to follow you. Take away discouragement. Take away my pain. Give me new life. Give me joy. Break the shackles and the chains that have held me down. Set me free tonight, Jesus. Set me free from the bondage of sin. In your name I pray. You be my God. You be my Savior. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Listen to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, when you turn around, no more discouragement. The victory is yours because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because of what Jesus did. And this is why we say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because what Jesus did on the cross, he won the victory over sin and death. Not you and I. We couldn't do it. We'd still be sinners. But because of Jesus, his victory over sin and death, we take joy in that. And in taking joy as Jesus, our Savior, we find strength in that. We find strength in that. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm done, Pastor. Sorry. Praise God. I'm just excited. Praise God.